Live more vibrantly in 2019 with a naturally healthier version of you. Lose weight, sleep better, and reduce anxiety and other symptoms when you get equipped to detoxify your body, mind, and home at the Wellness Kickstart event on Saturday, March 9th from 1 to 5 p.m. Sample or buy natural health products and services from essential oils to the Bimmer mat and much more. Hear from award-winning film director Angela Lamb about how to overcome chronic inflammation and disease. Plus, learn stress and anxiety relieving techniques from me, Amanda LaPlante, integrative health coach and host of Get Real to Heal radio show. Only at the Wellness Kickstart event hosted by Wellness Workshop and Calico Arts Project, sponsored by Get Real to Heal and Healthy Life Nation. We're four wellness working moms who've mega healed naturally, and we want to help you do the same. For more information or tickets, look up Wellness Kickstart event on eventbrite.com or Facebook.
The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante, and you are listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. Today, I am here with Leanne Johnson of Avenues Counseling. Welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. And we are going to talk about, well, a few things, but anxiety is the big topic of the day. So I will tell you, I was on a committee at Brentwood School District, and we were, I'm just going to start in with this story, just to kind of give a little bit of an idea for people that might be listening to how big of an issue anxiety has become, not just for adults, but really across the spectrum, right? Across the human population.
Yes.
I was on this committee for the Brentwood School District. It was a wellness committee, and we were surveying parents on what their hot button issues were, things that they were most concerned about in their kids and didn't know how to, you know, kind of deal with, needed some tools. And to our surprise, the vast majority, and I'm talking like, you know, maybe just a very small handful of people didn't respond with this answer, but the vast majority said anxiety was their number one concern. And we're talking about parents of, you know, kindergartners and preschoolers all the way up. It was shocking to me.
It's amazing. I mean, at Avenues Counseling, one of the things that we focus on is anxiety. And that's the way that I mentor the staff and train the staff, because, and my message to the staff is, hey, you know what? Just plan on about everyone that you meet with has some level of anxiety that they're struggling with, because it is so prevalent in our society these days. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to dive deep on this topic. Yeah. The first thing I'm going to do, though, is back up a little bit and let's talk about Avenues Counseling and how that came about, your story.
Yeah, well, Avenues Counseling was planted, if you will, started in 2011. I was working at a church at the time, and church asked if I'd start a counseling center. And so in 2011, we launched Avenues Counseling. We're a nonprofit counseling center in St. Louis. We're located in Richmond Heights. Our focus, our main mission, is to make sure that anyone who has a need for counseling can receive it regardless of their ability to pay. And so what we do throughout the year is we fundraise, and we have counselors that donate time, and we look to be community-based. And so we serve children as young as four up through adults and the elderly.
It's great work.
It's been amazing to see it grow. So when we started, we just had about three counselors, and now we have 11. It's been neat to see the community come in and receive help. Getting help, asking for help, can be really a scary process. And so we're thankful by the time they get to us that they've risked and taken the courage to give us a call and take that first step in whatever it is that's getting them to call in and ask for help.
it is hard to take that first step.
Yes.
I can speak from experience that taking that first step is a massive challenge. I remember a few years ago, I was in just a really incredibly low place, not just with my health, but with my, you know, my physical health, but my mental health as well. You know, I grew up in an area and in a family that didn't really believe in that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was more than willing to take me to a psychologist and try to work through some things when I was in my late teens, because I was really having a lot of issues. And, it was just a struggle to just embrace that idea of going to counseling. Mm-hmm. I have to say, now that I've finally done it, it has been such a transformative process and so just invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just want to, anybody that's watching, I want to encourage you to be brave and take that step.
Mm-hmm. And what we found, what I found as I work with people, is that anxiety has this level of shame that's attached to it.
Well said.
That people fear that they're the only one who is struggling in this way, who has the spiraling thoughts that they can't stop, who has a panic attack. And the reality is, what are the statistics say? It's 40 million adults aged 18 to 54.
It's staggering.
It is staggering. It's everywhere. And so one of the things that I tell people that I work with is 40 million adults. Guess what? You're not alone. And I'm not a big statistic girl, but I'll use that one because I think it helps people to normalize their experience and say, I'm not alone. And I don't have to hide this. I don't have to feel like I'm not good enough or I can't do life well enough. I'm not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's powerful.
Absolutely powerful. Yeah.
So, you know, you were talking earlier about, you said when people come in, you tell your counselors to just realize that probably just about everyone that they're going to see has some level of anxiety they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
How do you recognize that?
Mm-hmm. You know, anxiety to me is one of those trickier things, if you will. Humans, we're all so unique. And what people are coming in for could range on so many different levels, whether it's abuse or trauma, family of origin issues, not sure how to have relationships that are thriving. And so there's some key markers, I would say, but really anxiety is the main term, but it can actualize, it can show itself in many different ways. It could be generalized anxiety, panic disorder, social anxiety. And so making sure that counselors, at least at Avenues Counseling, that's the only people that I have, you know, an ability to touch directly, making sure that they are aware of the updated material and skills to be able to recognize it. And so a lot of times what I see is, at least with those that I work with, is the racing thoughts is what really seems to clue me into, oh gosh, okay. So they have these racing thoughts, and I'll label them as spiraling. And, you know, I make a little spiral motion with my hand in the air. And hey, you know what? This is anxiety. And so then taking them through, you know, what physiologically is happening when you're experiencing these things. And so, you know, it could be racing thoughts to irritability, which I don't think is something that people usually connect with anxiety.
I get that. I get that. And my family will know. They're like, okay, what you got going on this week? what's doing this to you? And yeah. I'm even one who, you know, I try to be very aware of, you know, through this process, because I've been in counseling for almost 3 years, you know, and very aware of my body as well from mm-hmm. all of the recovery I've had. And I still have those moments where it evades or eludes me. Mm-hmm. And I have to clue back in through cues that I receive from people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Say more words.
And when one of the things that I also encourage people to do is to just tell people that they trust, hey, today's an anxious day. I mean, I personally struggle with anxiety, and I don't keep that from my clients. I'll say, to help normalize it, hey, you know what? I struggle with that too. And hey, because there are a lot of questions I get back is, well, but I don't want my kids to know that I'm anxious, and I don't want them to be impacted by it. And part of the thing I take them through is your kids will be impacted by it, but how they're impacted by it and how you handle it with them is key.
Okay, you just hit home for me.
Okay.
Because this is something my husband and I have been talking about this week, is my anxiety and how it may be impacting my son. And I meditate and I do deep breathing exercises and I teach a class called How to Chill Without a Pill. So, like, I'm handling my anxiety in all the best ways that I know how. Still worry about, because it is so high, even though I've downregulated it to such an extent, it's still spilling over. It affects people in my life, and I know that. What do you say to people that come in with that question about, I don't want this to impact my kids, what can I do?
Again, this big word I keep saying, normalize. It's going to impact them. And I'll say to people that I work with, you know what, sometimes I just have an anxious day and I have no idea why. You know, just like you were saying, I do all of these things, I'm regulating, I know I'm taking care of myself, and yet I can still have an anxious day. And so I'll say, sometimes you'll just have an anxious day and you don't know why. And I get it. I get that that's super annoying and I get that it's crazy making, but accept it. Accept the limitations, accept the fact that you don't have total control over the way your mind and body work sometimes. And so if you accept it and normalize it, you will be, it'll be easier to take those around you and say, I mean, I'll say to my kids, they're 13 and 10. And sometimes I'm like, guys, super sorry, just having an anxious day today. Not even sure why, you know. Or, you know, hey, such and such just happened. Mom's feeling a little overwhelmed right now. Can you give me 5 to 10? You know, and just, yeah, they see that and they're interacting with it. And but in my world, that seems okay, you know, because they might experience anxiety someday. And so I see my job as mentoring them, helping them to understand, you know what, when they feel anxious, because they do sometimes, hey, it's okay. You're okay. You can tell me or another trusted person that you feel safe with, you know, to expose your emotions to, and you feel like they're going to honor them, right? Like you're okay. You will be okay. And I have to tell myself that I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. And I'm going to put some of that to work. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned a few different, well, and not to cut you off on flow of thought, was there anything else you wanted to say along that topic?
No, I think that was it for now.
Yeah. All right. So in backing up though, I know you mentioned several different forms of anxiety, ways that it can manifest. Let's talk a little bit more about those. Talk about, you said social anxiety, panic disorder, you know, several other types of anxiety for people that may not be familiar with those.
Sure. I mean, the biggest one that I see is the generalized anxiety. And so there's nothing specific per se, but you just generally feel anxious. You feel shaky, or, you know, you're spiraling thoughts. You might feel warm. You might be sleepless. You know, there might be different types of things going on that cause those types of symptoms. But then we also have the obsessive compulsive component of anxiety. And that's sort of the spiraling thoughts sometimes, and how we can get stuck in a rut in what we're thinking about, or the need or compulsion to do something at a certain time over and over again. And it could be as, for instance, you know, there's a lot of current sad reports about abuse in the churches right now. So sexual abuse in the church. And, you know, someone that I've worked with has had that experience. And so what they were finding is every day they were going and reading the reports, right?
Yeah.
And that's a compulsion, you know, a need to know in order to feel calm. Now, the reality is that what they're looking for actually doesn't happen. It doesn't help with the calmness, but there's a need to sort of like this, to be involved, to know what's going on and make sure that victims are being advocated and cared for, right? Because they've been through it. And so that's a way that it cannot be, you know, most people, I think, well, I know for myself, sometimes when I think of obsessive compulsive, I think, oh, someone's like hitting something 5 times in a row, or checking the door 5 times in a row, but it can be a lot. It can actualize in a lot of different ways within someone's life.
Now I have a question for you along that line of thought. So being a sexual assault survivor myself, when the Me Too movement came out, I found myself really drawn to following that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a manifestation in the way that you were talking about it? And is it necessarily always negative, or when does it become problematic?
I would not say in and of itself that's problematic. It's what you do with it. It's almost just like anything else. It's, you know, are you going and are you involved in the movement, and are you aware of it, or are you having to be super involved in the trenches of it?
Actual compulsion.
Yeah. And like, yeah. Be, you know, even when the Kavanaugh trials were happening, you know, I was having people with past abuse be really triggered by that. And, you know, for some of them, the need to really be involved in the whole process, you know, as they showed everything on TV, you know, as opposed to atmospherically knowing that that's going on and, you know, grieving perhaps again for their own abuse and knowing that abuse can happen to other people, you know, is different than this need to go and watch and see what's going on every single moment of every single day as the trial's going on.
Okay. And another, so then I think from compulsions, so then maybe panic disorder was another that you mentioned.
Yeah, panic attacks. So panic attack is, it will come on quick. And all of a sudden you might feel a tightness in your chest and your throat might feel like it's closing. You might get very sweaty palms or coldness to them, perhaps even, and shakiness. And before you know it, your breathing is super off, right? And sometimes there's a trigger, if you will, that has happened that you might be aware of why it would cause you to have a panic attack. And then other times you're just unaware of what's happening in those moments. And so the big thing that I share with people is, okay, when you have those moments, right? And that's why, if I could just pivot a little bit, that is why practicing anxiety reduction skills is super important to do when you're not anxious.
100%.
Which is
absolutely
almost the hardest thing people struggle with, because it's almost like when you're not anxious, you're great. I mean, life is good. So you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to practice my breathing 3 times today. And
I am so in tune with you on that. Yeah. So when I work with people, and I always recommend that if I'm dealing with someone with high anxiety, not only do we make some dietary changes to get inflammation down, re-regulate the gut, all of the other physical things that I know we can work on from a health perspective that way physically, but I always recommend they come and talk with a counselor, because that is not me. But I do get them to do some breathing techniques and relaxation techniques, you know, release, so that they're doing that at least when they're present with me. And I encourage them to go home and do it. But what is that block about getting people to stick to doing that routinely, not just in those moments?
I don't really know. I think it's just sometimes how we're wired as human beings. It's like, if it's not a problem, it's great. Everything's fine. If I'm not having that struggle right now, I'm totally fine. You know, and so I'll try to be really creative with people. I'll be like, you know what, like in your car, like just at a stoplight, practice some breathing, you know? And I think sometimes people don't feel like that's accessible to do throughout their life, like, or their days, if I will say that, you know, oh, I have work and how am I supposed to breathe at work? And so what I'll talk them through is, yeah, you know what, in the beginning, you might have to go in a quiet room and do your breathing, breathe in for 5, hold it for 5, breathe out for 5, you know, And you might need that solitude, that space and time to go and do that, you know. And I also encourage them to pick numbers that work for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel like there's a one number for everyone. And to say, you know what, you might have to do that at first, but then the beauty of it is, the more you practice it, the more you can do breathing in the midst of a conversation and no one knows it.
Totally.
I mean, there's honestly times where I'm feeling anxious throughout my day and I'm sitting with a client and I will practice my breathing and they have no idea.
That was one of the things that at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where I studied, the founder of the school would talk about that all the time. He's like, when you're in a session and you're breathing, you're present, because there's a healing power in presence and we can only be truly present if we're grounded and not anxious, right? You know, in that. So the breathing really does help. But yeah, if we didn't practice that outside of those moments.
Yes, exactly. And so the moment you start to feel that panic attack, right, that overwhelmness, that tightness of chest, if you start your breathing, it is amazing how physiologically you feel the shift immediately.
Well, we know that the body cannot be in both the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system at the same time. So your parasympathetic being your rest and digest, relaxation, you know, all the good things happen there. Sympathetic being your stress, fight or flight. Can't be in both at the same time. So that breathing technique will, but depending on which one you're doing, right, it can it can stimulate the vagus nerve or one of the other wonderful ways to tell the brain that, hey, we're cool.
We're okay.
All right. So social anxiety, if we could touch on that, because that is something that I have struggled with. And most people wouldn't know that because they think, you know, I'm often on the microphone. I lead networking meetings. I do all kinds of things where I'm public speaking. And at times I'm actually hiding behind the microphone. And nobody realizes that, because it's actually more comfortable for me to be up there with the microphone as kind of a barrier than it is for me to be out and among everyone, which is really interesting. But talk a little bit about social anxiety and some ways that might manifest.
I love your example of, hey, I can be out and about, but still feeling socially anxious, right? And I think the awareness of that is key. And that's what I talk about, no matter what the anxiety is. Self-awareness will help you if you are willing to know that in that moment, even though the microphone's in front of you, that you're still struggling and own that and be aware of it and process that with yourself and where that's coming from. That's key. And that helps you break out of that, right? And that's, again, going back to that shame component of anxiety. Sometimes we just want it to go away, the fear, right? And so, I mean, social anxiety could be someone who's out and about, like you were saying, or it causes them to feel isolated from social supports. It could be a range of, I can't go to work today. To, I don't have many friends, a myriad of different ways.
Yeah. And mine manifested a lot in family situations, especially once I had gotten married and I was going over to another family's home. And, and there were some things that I dealt with growing up in my own family, and I carried a lot of that with me. Right. And so, yeah, those thoughts. And I liked what you said in our notes. You said, you know, when our fears of not being enough, you know, it then anxiety is born. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the ways that I really work with people to help them break free of anxiety, no matter the form that it's showing itself in, is to help get control over their thoughts, to expose that shame, to normalize it, and to help them no longer fear the thoughts. A lot of times what I find, I don't know if you found this, but people feel like anxiety has more power and control over them than they feel like they have over it. And once I help them reframe that in their mind and say, no, actually, you have power over your anxiety. It's mind-blowing to them. And it almost gives them that like initial, once they're willing to accept that reality, that truth for themselves, it's almost like it gives them that little nudge of hope to say, okay, I can get over this, right? And so one of the ways that I work with people is, I guess it would be CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. I don't call it that with the people I work with. I'll say it's a thought chain, if you will. And so, you know, when you're in that spiraling time in your life, or you're aware of these shame thoughts, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to be good enough, or you struggle with perfectionism, which hasn't even come up yet today,
because I was
a
actually,
huge one, is to, okay, you know what, and make your columns any way you want it, but write down that thought, you know, write down a thought that is causing the spiral, you know, and then what is true or false about that thought? Okay. So the false, you identify what's false. Okay. Well, what's true? Okay. Well, what is the thing that you can come up with, the statement you can say that's truth about this fear you're having that's causing you anxiety? And then they come up with it. And I'll work with them in session to help them see how to do this so that they can do it on their own. And then I'll say, okay, so now the key is, every time this fearful thought comes up, this anxious thought, you have got to fight. Right? The training of your mind. So you've got to fight to remember the truthful thought and keep fighting the anxiety. And ultimately that will help the spiraling to stop.
That's great advice. And all right, so we're really close on time, but we've got to touch on perfectionism.
Yes.
So 30-second encapsulation.
Yes. So parents out there with young kids, if you notice perfectionism in your kids, the need to get everything right, the need to always get A's, the need to be perfect, please start talking to your kids now about not being perfect, about being okay with a B, right? And if you're out there and you are a parent and you are really pushing for all those A's and stuff, be aware of how it's impacting your kid potentially. And so for adults who have had a perfectionist background in their families or in how they've dealt with school or life, I find a lot of those adults sitting in my office not understanding why they struggle with anxiety and why their quality of life is not what they would hope it would be. And it's mind-boggling for people sometimes to realize the perfectionism is what's really keeping them from having joy.
Well, and thank you for the good work that you're doing to help people break free of those chains. And how can they reach out to you at Avenues Counseling if they'd like to get more information?
Yeah, so you can reach us online at avenuescounselingcenter.org or give us a call at 314-529-1391.
Leanne Johnson, it has been a pleasure to have you here. Thank you,
Amanda. It's been great.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. For more information from me, find me online at amandalaplante.com or on facebook.com/getrealtoheal. You can find this and other episodes at soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal. And for a free 30-minute consultation, reach out to me anytime by phone, 314-583-6749. Make it a great day.